When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to r/ProRevenge, where many of you come to listen to stories about people getting what they deserve. Guys, in today's episode, there's two stories. The first, OP gets sent some borderline psychotic messages from someone on Tinder and goes on the hunt to ruin them. The second story is a little bit longer and involves a dog sitter who completely trashes OP's sister's house while they're on vacation, and she blames it on a ghost. I'm kidding, she doesn't blame ghosts, but it's a really good story. I hope you guys stay for the tales today, and do hit that subscribe button for future stories. Let's get into it. This first story is titled, Threaten Me on a Dating App? Watch While Your Life Crumbles Around You. Backstory. When I was 19 or 20, and I'm 25 now, I met a guy on Tinder. Let's call him Brad. So Brad and I didn't get off to a great start, but I had no idea how bad it was gonna get. At first, it just seemed like we were incompatible, as he was being pushy and rude, and I don't like to take that stuff. If it had stopped there, I wouldn't be here right now, but it didn't stop there. So once I made it clear that I found Brad repulsive and wanted nothing to do with him, his messages took a turn. He threatened to stalk, kidnap, and murder me, along with some gory details about gouging eyes and defiling my corpse. Particularly disturbing was his explicit desire to quote-unquote strangle me and watch the life leave my eyes. He also managed to find my home address, 3 hours away from the city we were in, and threatened to come find me. As a side note, it was my dad's house, and some small part of me wanted to see exactly how bad it would have turned out for him if he showed up there. Of course, I warned my dad and gave him a picture of the guy. I also took screenshots of everything he sent me. So, the petty revenge first. Being a young woman with no idea whether this madman would actually go to lengths to find me, I called the cops. When they came, they looked at the messages, told me it constituted terroristic threats, but also told me that there wasn't much they could do unless Brad actually showed up. They did take down his details, including where he worked, which is listed in his bio. This will be important for later. From what I understand, the cops went to Brad's workplace to speak with him, and he refused, so they left. Nothing came of it. For the second part of the petty, I found his Facebook, and again, don't put your freaking workplace on all of your social media. I snooped around and managed to find a couple of his family members. I sent them all the screenshots along with an explanation of what happened. I didn't hear back for a few days, but when I did, it was from Brad's mom. She apologized profusely on behalf of her son and told me they were driving in from Brad's hometown, which is 3 states away, to confront him. I don't know what became of this, but I hope he got a good, southern-style ass-whooping. Now for the pro. A few years later, when Brad probably thought he was in the clear, something jogged my memory of what he did, and I decided it was time for him to face some actual consequences. I made a Facebook post, including his picture and bio, all of the screenshots, and a message warning people in our area and asking them to share it around so other women would know exactly what they were dealing with. 2 days later, Facebook took it down, but the damage had already been done. 3,000 shares and many messages later, all of that information had made its way to his company's Facebook page. From what I understand, they were absolutely flooded with messages about Brad and his behavior. They responded with a stalk message about how they were dealing with it according to their policies. This was disheartening, as I assumed they were just gonna blow it off. By this point, Brad had been working for them for at least 4 years. However, I soon learned that this was not the case. Several women from his company messaged me to thank me for coming forward and exposing the kind of person they were working with. It was through one of these women that I found out what happened to good old Brad. He was called into a meeting with his boss, HR, and the CEO of the company. As a side note, this is a multinational company, and the CEO is a woman. They did not take the situation lightly. Within 2 days of posting on Facebook, Brad had been fired and escorted off the premises by armed security. In the end, Brad got what he deserved, and now has a massive blank spot in his resume, as this company was his first job out of college, and he can no longer get a letter of recommendation from them. As far as what became of him, I don't know. I never heard from him again, though I did get a message from his grandma telling me that what I was doing is illegal. Guys, this happens more often than you think on these dating sites. So I've had a few female friends that have experienced almost the same thing that OP went through. How a guy would message them, telling them that they're beautiful, etc., etc., and as soon as they get a reply they don't like, all of a sudden it's like a switch is flipped, and then they'll get crazy, psychotic messages like, "Oh, you're so fat, you're ugly, nobody wants to date you anyways, I hope you get hit by a bus, blah blah blah." And one guy even threatened to find my friend, saying that he knows where she works, where she lives, and he just went borderline psycho, and nothing ever came of that situation. In this case, Brad just happened to mess with the wrong person that one day. This story is titled, "Don't Tell Mom, the Dog Sitter's Dead." My sister moved up from South Carolina from Florida about a year ago, but she still visits us periodically. We're a big and close family. So shortly after Thanksgiving, she flew down with her husband and son for one such visit. She has 3 geriatric dogs, so she got a house/dog sitter. So my sister went through the basics of how they can only be fed at certain times, how they get let out at certain times, how they need to be in their crates from X hour to Z hour. Most importantly, they don't get treats. They get vitamins in place of treats, but those vitamins have to be given only twice a day, and no people food, very strict diets. They're all happy and healthy only because my sister is so strict with this routine. With that said, let's get into the story. The lady she got to watch her dogs had stellar reviews on a site that she was found through. She's a stay-at-home mom who does this as a side thing for extra cash. I feel like it can end here, and you all can guess where this is going. So my sister left for Florida for a week. The first 5 days, everything's going well. The dog sitter texts my sister regularly, or video calls. She shows my sister pictures and gives her regular updates of when she comes and goes to my sister's house. So my sister has some health problems herself. She's got a ton of prescription medication in her medicine cabinet. She brought enough for the week, but left the rest at home. Stuff for epilepsy, asthma, and allergies. She's also got a ton of painkillers from when she had my nephew not that long ago, but she never used them. It's a full bottle. This is relevant for later. On top of that, she's been a collector of rare beer for about 15 years now. She has beer that's not even sold anymore because they were promotional. Beer that she can't get anymore because she doesn't live in Florida. Those bottles she keeps mostly as decoration in her kitchen. On the 6th day of her vacation, the dog sitter stops all communication altogether. My sister texts, calls, emails, nothing. It's radio silence. She's got a bad feeling, but she doesn't want to kill the mood because she doesn't get to see her family very often anymore. So day 7, she gets on a late flight back to South Carolina. The plane gets there around 2 in the morning. They drive an hour to their rural town. They get home, and the front door is wide open. The lawn looks like someone in a truck just tried to go drifting over the grass and a tree before vacating the premises super quick. My sister goes to handle my nephew, who's groggy and screaming since it's been a rough day. She's thinking the worst, that someone had robbed the house while this poor
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Poor lady was there. My sister's husband goes inside to survey the damages. It's all clear, and my sister and nephew go inside too. The back door is wide open. The couch looks like it exploded. The rug in the living room and the couch, and pretty much every square foot on the bottom floor, is covered in the kind of pee and poop that can only be made from three geriatric furry buttholes. The dogs are thankfully still in the backyard, but they're shivering and filthy. There are broken beer bottles everywhere. Some have even been stuffed deep into a trash can to hide the evidence. Some have been refilled with water and put back with their tops precariously situated on top, so they might look like they've never been touched. 82 bottles, each growler-sized, which is roughly 64 ounces, is gone. The medicine cabinet is like one of those western ghost towns with a tumbleweed bouncing through, and my sister is already thinking that the dog sitter threw herself a party, because no way in heck that someone 5'6", 170 pounds, drank that much beer and take that many pills and not be dead. My sister called the cops, obviously, and the police get there to figure that there must be a break-in. They take a bunch of pictures, take an account of all the bottles and drugs that were missing, and my sister cleans what she can and goes to sleep because, thankfully, the upstairs hasn't been touched. One day later, the police find the dog sitter. My sister has assumed the worst, how she must have been kidnapped, etc., so the police were looking for her and for her car. They found the truck run off at the side of the highway with this lady about 2 miles up, tweaking out of her mind, walking along the side of the road, screaming at nothing. They take her in for whatever charges, I don't know. Her husband bails her out and picks her up. According to her husband, this has happened before. The dog sitter has a drug and alcohol problem. At first, she's messaging my sister, super apologetic, saying that she'll reimburse my sister and please don't press charges. My sister quotes her for the price of the rug, a new couch, and the vet bills because her dogs somehow gained access to 9 containers of doggy vitamins, and one of them was having liver failure. The total cost was somewhere around $800. My sister didn't bother with the beers, the meds, the lawn, the cleaning of the house, and she should have. Heck, I would have. On top of that, my sister demanded that the dog sitter never dog sit again, and that she refund my sister for the dog sitting. So my sister works in advertising. I won't say what kind, but basically, if she saw or sees the dog sitter advertising herself as a dog sitter ever again, she has the means to drag this lady until she sees mud for the rest of her life. So the dog sitter insists that she's gonna pay it all back, but that my sister has to wait until they get their taxes back. Okay, so my sister waits. It's now late February, and she texts the dog sitter asking where her money is. The dog sitter immediately starts saying how she didn't do anything wrong, how my sister is a bad dog owner, and her dogs are miserable, and none of the stuff my sister said she did was actually done. This goes on for a while, and eventually, the dog sitter starts saying that as a courtesy, she has a friend who owns a furniture store, and she'll give my sister a credit of $200 for a new couch, and that she has an old rug that she doesn't want anymore that my sister can just have, for free. What? she paid my sister about $500, but insists that she'll get a coupon to my sister soon. March goes by, and nothing. Around March 20th, my sister marches her happy butt to small claims courts and files. She then snaps pictures of everything, and she sends the dog sitter the message. She says, "As a courtesy, I'm letting you know that I just filed this at the small claims court." And this is where the fun starts. This lady goes off on my sister. She says she's gonna sue for slander and undue distress and harassment and blah, 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 blah. My sister saves all of it, including the fun bits where the dog sitter threatens her family and calls her the C-word 20 dozen times. So April 6th rolls around, and it's the court date. The lady shows up, looking like she just got run through a garbage disposal. She gives the judge her sob story, talking about how she did nothing but give my sister and her animals the best care, and that my sister is making all of this up. And yeah, my sister has the OG cop with her. She's got pictures of all the damages, the vet bills, the bottles, the proof that she was out of town, the police reports of both the break-in, as well as the dog sitter's DWI the following day. The dog sitter tries to spin it with the one law about how you can't serve alcohol to a known alcoholic, and that obviously gets thrown right out. The dog sitter then tries to appeal to the judge and my sister's sense of humanity. She tells them about how her husband just left her and is suing her for full custody, and that if she can't dog sit, how is she supposed to support herself or ever get her kids back? The judge takes my sister's side for the obvious reason. So basically, the dog sitter is homeless now and living with her parents. She can't see her kids, who, by the way, don't want to see her. And apparently, she was a drunk who ran her hubby's credits all the way down, and she was abusive to her kids. So the dog sitter has 60 days to pay the remaining balance of $300, or she faces jail time. Her husband has filed for divorce already, and oh, she lost her license thanks to that DWI. My sister's dogs are doing well. She got a replacement couch on Amazon for like $75, and a nice, fluffy rug for even less. And the dog sitter eventually coughed up that coupon, and it didn't even work. It was for something like 20% off with a purchase of $500 or more. So, no thanks. What a wild ride this story was. I'm very upset that all of the beer that the sister collected was gone. And also, how the heck did she get good reviews? Surely someone out there would have left a review that said, "Horrendous dog sitter. I had 16 Heinekens in the fridge, and over the span of 5 hours, the dog sitter drank all of the beers, and then blamed it on my Great Dane." Guys, and that brings us to another end of r/pro revenge. If you guys missed the last episode of r/pro revenge, a couple steals a car from OP's car dealership, and in the end, OP gets sweet revenge that involves the couple losing their kids. I hope you guys got your revenge fix for the day, and I'll see you guys in the next one.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.